and it's shown up no.
God bless you.
That God wanna bless you.
God bless you.
How many really know that God wanna bless you?
God bless you.
Well, just tell yourself.
Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've tried everything that I could in my life in this world.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Lord, now we thank you. For God, you are wonderful. Now, Father, speak to me and speak through me, that your word would go forth, our hearts would be lifted, leaving feeling better than when we came because we've heard from you. We thank you now. Thank you now for God, you being the God that you are. Put your hand of protection upon us. We know you can if you will. In Christ's name and for his sake we pray. Amen. And to the triune Godhead, to Reverend Slaughter, and to Reverend Kirks, to Reverend Dearborn in his absence, to these ministers of music, to this choir, amen. Didn't they minister to our souls? So glad to see my childhood friend I grew up with, Bo and his wife. God bless you. Raise your hand. Hey, we grew up in Southwood Terrace together. Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord again. The gospel according to St. Mark. Glad to always see Gus and his wife. God bless you. The gospel according to St. Mark. Continue to pray for the family of Sister Linda Lavallee's. On yesterday, she had a beautiful homegoing celebration. Thank you all for your prayers. Continue to pray for her husband of 53 years, that God will continue to keep him and their children. The gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 14, and verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ornament, spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. God bless you. I want to talk on this thought, when worship is real. When worship is real. God bless you. Thank you, Ursus. The words praise and worship are often used together. Though they complement one another, they are two different things. praise is an expression of approval or admiration. We praise God is an acknowledgement and appreciation for what he has done for us. Praise is our way of giving God thanks because he is worthy of our praise. And all my brothers and sisters, we all have a reason to praise God. Because if praise is a way of giving God thanks, then we all should be thankful for something. And you don't need seven figures to be thankful. You don't need three cars in the driveway to be thankful. You don't need two-story homes to be thankful. You don't have to wear name brand clothes to be thankful. Just to be alive is enough to be thankful. Just because he woke you up this morning is enough to be thankful. Some of you sit there as you figure that you're not happy he woke you up. Well, then if you're not happy, God can answer that prayer for you too. He can't accommodate you by not waking you up tomorrow. So let me say it again. I'm just thankful that he woke me up this morning. The Bible is replete with instructions to praise God. And so when we talk of praise, it is our way of offering him thanksgiving. But when it comes to worship, worship is an expression of adoration and a reverence. We give that to him because of who he is. In other words, our worship is not depending on what God has given you. That's praise. Our worship is because of who he is. And when we worship him, it's not because of what you have, but who has you. And can you just worship God for who he is? He's God, all by himself. When we worship God, we submit ourselves completely to him. And my brothers and sisters, in this position, a person, when he worships God, aligns himself with God's will. In other words, praise is what he has done for us, but worship is for who he is. So in no matter how you look at it, the church should be making noise. Some came this morning to praise him. In your praise, it should be noise. Some came to worship him. In your worship, it should be noise. That dispenses what people say. It doesn't take all of that to praise God. But the word of God says, make a joyful, let the redeem of the Lord. So if God has done something for you, you ought to say so. And if you just come to worship, you should make a joyful noise. Your worship should be so endearing and so loud that it gets on your neighbor's nerve that's sitting on side of you. Won't you, matter of fact, won't you look at your neighbor and say, you're blessed. Come on, tell them, say, you're blessed. You want to know why you're blessed? Come on, tell them, you want to know why you blessed? Because I let you sit on side of me. Amen. I wish I had somebody. I come here to give God praise, and I come here to give God worship. And either way I do, I come to make some noise. I worship him for who he is. Who is he, Reverend? He's Jehovah Elohim. He's my creator, mighty and strong. He's Jehovah El Shaddai, God Almighty. Who is he, preacher? He's Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. Who is he, preacher? He's Jehovah Rapha. He is the one who heals my body. Who is he, preacher? He's Jehovah Nissi. He's my banner. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's my peace. He's Jehovah Elohim. He's Lord God. He's Jehovah Rapha. The Lord is my shepherd. He's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. He's Jehovah Elohim, Most High. He's Jehovah Elalam, the everlasting God. But can I take it where grandma said, who is he, preacher? He's my bread when I'm hungry. He's my clothes when I'm naked. He's my shelter when I've been put outdoors. He's my friend. Well, I wish I had somebody. Who is he? He's God all by himself. Ah, my brothers and sisters, he's God. In the text that's in our hearing, verse 1 of chapter 14, you will discover that they were there for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread was a feast, one of the feasts that they celebrated for the deliverance from the slavery of sin and the harsh slavery of Egypt. And then you discover that in verse 2 that the chief priests and scribes were there, and they were trying to find an occasion against Jesus. They were trying to find something very drastic to accuse him of, to put him to death. Right. You'll be surprised how people will get angry because you're doing God's will. But look, it was discovered that look at where Jesus is. In verse 3, you will discover that he's in Bethany. Bethany was his hangout. Bethany was his place when he went to for a little R&R. He was either at Lazarus' house, but in this situation, he's at Simon the leper's house. He lived in Bethany, a little village in Judah on the southeastern slope of the Mount of Olives. And here, Simon the leper, he's in a guy's house, watch this, who's really not a major character. You don't hear much about Simon the leper. Just in this occasion, and in Matthew's writing and in John's writing, you discover the only time he is mentioned is in this situation where he's not even the major character. Here, the attention is given not to Simon the leper, watch this, but the attention is given to his residence. Because the Bible says he's in Simon the leper's house. And in his house, as they celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Jesus was invited to somebody who, y'all gonna get it, who was not a major character. His name didn't go all across Judea in Jerusalem, but Jesus is still at his house. Look, Simon the leper don't mean that he is now a leper. That means he once was a leper. And I'm quite sure, Rum Kirk, that he was a leper that Jesus healed. And since Jesus healed him, he invited him to come to his house. Although I'm not a major character, I still want you to come to my house. Look, Jesus still showed up at his house. That means you don't have to be rich for Jesus to come to you. You don't have to be a major character in society for Jesus to come to you. You don't have to sit on the Supreme Court for him to come to you. You can throw trash, he'll still come to you. You can sweep floors, he'll still come to you. You can keep houses, he'll still come to you. Because it's not your social status that impresses Christ. It's what's on the inside that impresses Christ. Here's your praise cue. He's in Simon the leper, used to be a leper, but no longer a leper. In other words, Jesus is in the house of a used to be. And aren't you glad?
Yes, sir.
He is willing to dwell in a house of a used to be. You can sit there with your holy self, but it ain't nothing but a bunch of used to be's in here. But yet he's still willing to dwell in the house. Now, whatever it was you used to be, whatever you were, it was nothing that God was pleased with. But he saves your soul. And aren't you just glad? And that's a reason to praise God at that moment. What he's done for you, you wasn't deserving of it, but he still saved you anyway. And I wish I had somebody that testified, can look back over your life and see how low down and wretched. Well, some of us are still low down and wretched. He puts up with us. You ought to give God some praise or worship for him being in your life. Thank you, God. He's in the house of Simon the leper. And there they were sitting there as they celebrated the feast of unleavened bread. Then out of the blue, a woman shows up. This woman, sister, she didn't dress like you dress. She was from across the tracks. She operated in the red light district. She didn't sell furniture for a living. Come on now.
Yes, sir.
But she comes in Simon the leper's house. And as she walks in, all eyes start looking on her. Number one, write this down. A worship that's real is a worship that's progressive. She walks in, noticing that everybody's looking at her because they have no desire for her to be in the house. You don't belong in here. You are an uninvited guest. You are not on the guest list. But she, to have a progressive worship, she had to overlook their looks. To have a progressive worship, watch this, a progressive worship moves you from the streets into the house. And she goes into the house from the outside to the inside. She walks in and everybody is looking at her, nose turned up at her. But her eyes is on Jesus. Don't we get so critical on the invited guest party? Some of us are the same way. If a brother or sister walk in the church right now, brother walk in raggedy, smelling bad, hair all over the place, unshaved, dirty, here we are looking at them, turning up our nose at them, even have the nerve to hold your nose as they come in your direction. Well, let me tell you, can I bust your bubble wide open? Maybe you see his dirt, but the God can see your dirt behind the perfume. God can see your dirt behind the bath. And oh, we shouldn't look down at them. We should go and tell them, come on in. And so, they looked at her, and she was not concerned because, here it is, y'all ready? She did not come there to see them anyway. Some of them, Reverend Slaughter, perhaps were nervous when she walked in because they did business with her.
All right.
Look at you saved people in here. But in spite of how he looked at her, she walks in and she goes to Jesus, because a progressive worship will get you to Christ regardless of what people think of you. And if You come here this morning with a progressive worship. Watch this. She was by herself. No one was with her. So why does it take for you, it's going to take a church full of folk for you to praise God? When God bless you this morning, we wasn't all in the house with you. So if God can do it when I'm by myself, then if I'm by myself, I can still give him worship. And I wonder, is there anybody here can testify who says, I'm not ashamed to own him? Yeah, I don't care who shows up at church. I don't care if my co-worker shows up at church, homeboy showed up in my church. God been too good to me to conceal my worship because I'm scared of what somebody may think of me. You don't have no heaven and hell to put me in. He's been too good to me. She walks in. She has a progressive worship. Then watch this. Secondly, when worship is real, not only is it progressive, but it's personal. Because watch, she walks in and she has an alabaster box. And in that alabaster box, she has spikenard. Spikenard was a rare plant, grew in India. And it was hard to acquire, and it was very, very, very expensive. It was about a year's wages to pay. And people who had this spikenard was more than like rich people. But here's this woman in a beautiful alabaster box, left home with the spikenard, the ointment, and she left home with the intent to give it to Jesus. Y'all need to get what I'm saying. When she woke up that morning, she had heard that he was in town. And so what she did, she got her best, put it in a beautiful alabaster box, leaving home with the intent to give it to Jesus. And I wonder, when you left home this morning, came here to Mount Zion, what was your intent? And it said, if you left home, high as gas is, drove across town, put on your clothes, walk in here, and do the same thing you could have done if you would have stayed home. I didn't come, if I wanted to sit down, I'd have stayed home and sat in the recliner. I didn't come here, I left home with the intent to have worship and praise in my heart. And when I get to the house, I was going to give it to Jesus. I want to say, anybody want to give it to him? Don't hold it. You left home to give it to him. Then you need to stand up in the place, up in here, up in here, up in here, and give it to him. She was willing to do this because her worship was personal. And so here she is. She gets to Jesus and she breaks this box. And there inside of it is a beautiful anointing oil with a powerful fragrance. But to get to what she wanted to give Jesus, she had to break some. And see, there are some things in your life you've got to break to really give Jesus what you want to give him. There are some relationships you've got to break. There are some people you've been hanging around you've got to break. I wish I had somebody to testify. Aren't you glad? Now, can you be real with me? Aren't you glad that God given you the strength to break off from some people? And once you broke off from them, you come to discover how much liberty you now have. All they was doing was holding you back. All they was doing was complaining. Look, let me bring it closer to home. There are some people on your pew you need to break from. You need to start bringing and come to another pew when you come to church, because the one you sit on side of, all they do is complain. They walk to the church. Church ain't started yet. Then when church start, why this church going on so long? The choir, they done sung one song. They don't need to sing another one. Deacon reading too many scriptures. The deacon praying too long. Ain't no spirit got them doing all that. Come on, Rev, you need to bring us all home. You need to find you another pew. The people didn't come here to put statutes on limitations on what the Holy Spirit is getting ready to do. It has to be personal. And Mary did not care what they thought of her. And when she shows up, the record is she anoints his head. One of the other writers in Matthew discovered not only did she anoint his head, she anoints his feet. And as she was worshiping him in her way, some of the other disciples had an indignation against her. Look at her, pouring all that over Jesus. You know how expensive that anointment is? And she's wasting it, pouring it over Jesus. You know how much money we could have gotten for that? Watch this. Here's your praise cue. Your personal worship to others may seem like a waste, but your worship is not depending on what they think of you. Your worship is depending on what you think of God. The word worship comes from an Anglo-Saxon term, which really means worship. That means that my movement and my actions, I'm able to do this, it depends on how much God is worth to me. And if God is worth the world to me, that's why you always see me excited, because he's worth me waving my hands. He's worth me lifting my voice. He's worth me standing on my feet. He's worth me clapping my hands, because he means that much to me. No. As they were talking, she was still worshiping. As they were discussing about its being a waste, she didn't let it stop her. And see, I don't care about what people think. I'm not going to let you stop me for praising my God. I'm not going to let you stop me from shouting if I feel like shouting. And as they were talking to her and discussing about what, Jesus came to her defense. Verse 8, Jesus said she has done what she could. In other words, since I've been here, you haven't done nothing for me. Here is this woman from the red light district, who you disapprove of, walks in and started doing something you should have been doing the whole while I was here. Since I'm the guest, you're supposed to already wash my feet. You're supposed to already anointed my head. But I sat here getting ready to eat, and this woman walks in and gives me what I needed. Y'all don't get what I'm saying. You see how many of us come to church and just sit still? But when somebody come off the street, walk all down the aisle and praise God, we sit and look at them and what's wrong with them? They're just doing what we should have been doing since we've been here. And I've come to tell you, real worship is explosive, not explosive, but explosive. It exposes what you should have been doing when you walked into the house of God. Jesus says, I like what he says. Verse 6, he says, y'all let her alone. Leave her alone. She ain't bothering nobody. Leave her alone. And every time I praise God, and when Satan try to hinder my praise, God says the same thing. Leave him alone. What he is giving to me. And so he says, why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful